Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. We got some That Ain't Right stories coming up, some local good stories of the day, and we're going to get into 10 social norms that make no sense when you think about them.
Can't wait.
All of that coming up for you. We're going to kick off with a little bit of entertainment news, and I just want to play a little of this right now. That is The Wind Cries Mary.
After all the jets are in the boxes.
From the great Jimi Hendrix Experience, this is a live version of the song from Paris in 67.
Nice.
I just wanted to have a little bit of that play for reference because we're going to talk about Jimmy's classic song, The Wind Cries Mary. It's actually the last thing I remember on my 21st birthday. I requested that song. I wanted to make sure. Oh, sorry. I thought it. Down the street. Sorry, everybody. I wanted to make sure that I had it played and that I made it to midnight. And I'll never forget it hitting like about 12:04, 12:05, something like that. And I'm leaning up against the wall, and that's the last thing I remember. I remember waking up next in my apartment on the floor. That's all I remember. That song has quite the history to it. It's one of Jimmy's more classics. And it's such a classic groove that it's hard to believe it was inspired by something as simple as a fight over mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Does anybody else love the history of music and the history of songs
and
they were created and everything? I get such a I'm such a nerd about it.
Yeah.
And I saw this and I couldn't wait to dive right into it. Jim's British girlfriend, Kathy Mary Eichenham, once explained, quote, "We'd had a fight over food. Jimmy didn't like lumpy mashed potatoes. There were thrown plates and I ran off. When I came back the next day, he'd written the song about me. It's incredibly flattering." I have no idea what to make of all that.
Oh, wow.
That may be partly true, but the song was also inspired by another Mary, Jim's Seattle girlfriend, Mary Washington.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy.
But it's interesting just to hear some of this like history behind some of these things and everything. And nothing about the song ever made me think of that.
No.
But it's also a song now that when I hear it, I hear remorse. I hear a person asking for forgiveness and stuff that I never really heard in the song before.
Okay.
But understanding now where it was coming from, his heart and the regret, the you know, feeling bad and all these things and stuff. And it comes across in the song a lot differently now.
That does make a lot. That makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because that was kind of his apology, wasn't it? Because he said he wrote it the next day. She said he wrote it the next day, and it was kind of his, whoops.
Interesting.
Especially if he's throwing plates around.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, you better be doing a lot more than writing a song.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Be doing a lot more. Get some therapy.
If you don't like lumpy potatoes, make your own.
Yeah,
There you go. See, Melissa knows what.
Yeah, that's what the song really should have been about. Jimmy learning to make
making his
potatoes.
Own mashed potatoes.
Yeah, learning to make them. Yeah. Nickelodeon will air an alternate telecast of Super Bowl 58. It'll be more kid focused and will most likely incorporate slime in some way. it'll be the first time a Super Bowl has had a second presentation, but not the first time Nick has done NFL games, of course. They've done this for years. They did alternate feeds for wild card games in 20 and 2021 and a Christmas Day game. They're doing another Christmas game this year. Super Bowl 58 will air on CBS on February 11th in 2024. This is such a cool idea. And good on the NFL for realizing that they can make a lot of money off of this. Think about this. You usually have advertisers fighting to get on for this year's CBS.
Right.
Well, now they can get on CBS and Nickelodeon.
And specifically for kids.
Right.
Get them young. Suck them into sports when you can.
Yeah, yeah. And the NFL, there's a part of this that I really enjoy. I like Nickelodeon being supported. I like Nickelodeon in general, and I think it does good work for kids. All of that being said, Melissa actually got ahead of something on me, and this is why I missed you so much, Melissa, stuff like this. and part of the reason why I worry about you, because of our brains being
sick. Oh, yeah.
I'm used to Seth and I thinking alike. I worry about you, Melissa. You're better than this. You're better.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, really.
The
She's supposed to be the go good one.
More than
hey, I wasn't saying it as a positive thing, guys. Realize that.
No, we know.
No sport has been affected more in the last 10, 15 years about parents pulling their kids from that sport than football.
Yep.
You cannot tell me that there isn't an underlying meaning of, hey, get them young, like Melissa said, and that, mom, I want to play football. And the kid fighting and begging to play football, and he finally gets to play football. My Nana knew how violent it was where we were growing up and how violent it was for my brother, my dad and his brother. He played hockey, was a boxer, refused to let that man put on pads. My dad had to hide and run to go play with just tag football with friends and everything. She was just hated the idea of him doing it. She was a nurse, and she understood the rattling of the brain and everything that would go on and stuff.
Right.
I don't think she understood what, you know, about concussions or any of us did, but she understood some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the biggest diehard nut football fans in the world. Mm-hmm. If my son had come to me at a young age and said he wanted to play football, I don't know how I would feel about it. I really don't.
Yeah.
I'm going to be completely honest. The sports fan in me wants to encourage him to go out and buy him a mouthpiece right away. The parent in me wants to wrap my kid in bubble wrap and never let anything bad ever happen to them.
Right.
That's not the job of parenting. The job is to let them learn how to fly on their own and all that.
That's what your desire would be, right?
Yeah, but that my desire certainly is that. So I'm not at all going to say that how I would handle this or anything. I'm lucky. My kids are in their 20s and stuff. It was a long time ago that my kids were asking my advice on things or how they could do something or
not. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? This hasn't come up because neither of my kids have really expressed interest in football. So, but it's something that Beth and I did talk about. You know, it's like, if they want to play football, what is our decision going to be? And I know Beth was pretty much on the side. She really didn't want it. I was more like you, James, maybe, on the fence. Not so much because, you know, I'm a big football fan. It's because if they really wanted to do it, I didn't want to discourage them, you know, to do that kind of thing. But in the end, it was a moot point. So, so there you are.
Yeah. And we're getting it wrong anyway. You don't want your kids to grow up to be football players, be basketball players, or starting pitchers in baseball.
There you go. That's where the real money is. Yeah.
And longevity.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they last a lot longer. Yeah.
Mamas, don't let your kids grow up to be running backs because you got a 4 or 5 year career and they just chew you up and spit you out. Biggest game in the world, and they mistreat their you know, the only reason that people watch. Because I don't know. Well, let me ask the audience. I shouldn't just assume this. 424-2600, do you watch football for Jerry Jones? Do you watch to see the owners? Do you watch because you're so invested in the ownership of that
Jim Irsay, I really want to watch.
No, I don't think so.
One quick note for that, though. If they are going to really go in with this Nickelodeon thing, man, at the end of the game, when you win the game, it's got to be a bucket of slime you pour on the coach.
So much.
Not the Gatorade. So you need the slime on that. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Oh, I love the idea. As much as I hate the idea of New England winning a Super Bowl and Bill Belichick being slime. Oh, my God.
That would be awesome.
Melissa, do you know who Bill Belichick is?
I've heard the name.
Okay. If you look up a picture of him, picture that man being slimed. That's going to make you laugh.
Or picture him smiling, because he's never smiled, in his life.
Good luck finding a picture of him smiling, yes.
So do you guys think this is the death knell of football?
It's close.
It's possible. It really depends.
I say that, but I still say that we're 30-some years out. I still think we're quite a ways out.
Because do you think that there's more that they can do to make it safer?
They're working on it. We have to play both. We have to cover all bases here. The NFL has spent a lot of money, brought in some of the greatest minds when it comes to this stuff. No pun intended. when it comes to taking care of athletes, when it comes to protecting their brains and all that. And now, are they doing this because they care about these athletes? Well, let's hope so. That's at least a degree of it. We come right back to where we started with this, where
money
and kids not wanting to play the sport. Well, they can tell parents, look, we're making it safer. Look, you know, look at what happened with Damar Hamlin, a freak accident like that, and our medical staff was on point, ready to take care of him, and boom, that man just had an interception in training camp. That's insane to me. Can we just take a moment to just appreciate that? Like, as a society, where mm-hmm. we've come scientifically, where we've come with our medical field and everything. Yep. That's incredible. And that was DeMar Hamlin's decision to continue to play.
Yep.
And to be in this and everything. So I you have to give credit where it's due, too. The NFL is putting a lot of money, a lot of effort into making the game safer. That being said, DeMar Hamlin, just not even a year ago, had a freak accident happen that they could have never seen coming. Yep. You know? So and that's just that. Who knows what else is around the corner?
Well, because they know what's at stake.
Yep.
They know what's at stake. Mm-hmm.
The biggest game in the universe.
Yeah.
And it's not just the safety gear that players are wearing. It's also the safety of the fields they're playing on.
Yeah.
We should talk about the artificial turf.
Oh,
And God, the huge amount of money that's in that. Because now, well, it's moving away from, you know, NFL, the big leagues. Now they're getting it into schools. They're getting it into, you know, fields at high schools.
I could spend...
Wausau, yeah.
Yeah, I could spend hours talking about the old Philly field, old Veterans Stadium, and the horror
show. How many players died of brain cancer?
Yeah. Not just that, but Melissa, I'll never forget, as being a kid, we did not have a lot of great receivers as a Bear fan. And Wendell Davis was one of the only ones. He goes up for a catch, just a routine random catch going down the sideline. His cleats caught in the turf, and both his legs broke.
Ooh.
It's crazy.
That's not even talking about, to your point, Melissa, the level of like the soccer and how so many young athletes, and especially goalkeepers, have been dealing with different types of cancer and different things because of the AstroTurf that they were putting out there and everything.
Crazy.
I mean, it's got old tires underneath it. What is that doing to our environment? What is it? And dare we bring up PFAS again? But
they're everywhere. I mean, you can't.
Well, but except that they haven't made the actual connection yet between A and B. Yeah. But I mean, come on.
There's a lot of evidence, though. Yeah, yeah.
A poll of 2,000 people revealed America's favorite TV family.
Okay.
424-2600. Call up and take some guesses at this one. If you get even close, we'll get you some rafter tickets. 424-2600. You guys want to take some grabs at this one?
I'm guessing The Simpsons are on the list. Mm-hmm. I would say that they're somewhere on there.
Certainly number one in my heart.
Of course, yes.
I'm going to say the Tanner family.
Oh, good guess.
Oh,
nice guess.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
guess.
A good
that's
one.
That's a good one. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Oh, let's see.
As uncomfortable as it is to bring up, I think you have to bring up the Huxtables.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. just popped into my head, too.
I mean, it ain't the rest of the cast's fault that they had, one of the more evil human beings in history, putting on bad sweaters every week.
Yeah.
Let's see. So there's a couple there. There's a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Waltons. And
back further,
maybe the Partridge family.
How about the Wilder family and Little House on the Prairie?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I couldn't grab it. Thank you.
Yep.
Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, 424-2600. You can go ahead and add in your plenty of names into this list if you'd like. We're going to start.
Yeah, can't forget the Brady Bunch.
There you go, Melissa.
I'd like to.
I knew there was one. I knew there was one I was forgetting. There's
there
a big
go.
One I was forgetting. That's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, that's it.
And I've got the list in front of me, too. That's the sad part. But I was trying not to look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll go from 10 up here. At number 10, the Banks family from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
The Braveman family from Parenthood.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Number 8, the Tanner family from Full House. Nice.
Very good. Very
points
good.
Points to Melissa on that one. The Taylor family from Home Improvement.
Okay. Not bad.
The Barone family from Everybody Loves Raymond.
That was I got to say that if nothing else, I didn't watch the show regularly, but what casting for that family.
Yeah, literally perfectly cast show.
Peter Boyle, you got Brad Garrett, come on. Yeah. It was so good.
The mom.
Yes. I'm sorry, her name escapes me, but she was so good.
Great actress.
Yep.
And this is where it gets a little interesting to me, and we'll get more into this. So at number 5, the Addams Family from the Addams Family.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I don't know if that comes up on radio.
Oh, there you go. That was good.
Yep.
There you go. Now that's better. Yep.
And number 4, number 2 in my heart, the Bundy Family from Married with Children. God, I love that show. God, I love that show. Number 3, the Brady Bunch.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Mm-hmm.
At number two, The Simpsons.
No, of course. Aww. Gotta put those in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not going to find a better family. You're not going to. And at number one, The Addams Family from Wednesday.
What?
Oh.
So The Addams Family at number five and at number one in two different eras.
Wow, so the original Addams Family show and now the new Addams. Wow.
That's kind of surprising.
That is very surprising.
When I was a little kid, I remember getting made fun of for watching The Addams Family and not The Munsters. And I am taking such a victory lap right now in my head.
I always preferred The Addams over The Munsters.
Me too.
Same.
Their comedy was, they had that darker, little bit darker mm-hmm. humor on there. The Munsters was kind of more silly. I like the darker humor of the Addams Family.
And I've said this before too, but I don't think I've ever followed with, I like the Munsters. I didn't have anything against the Munsters. I just love the Addams Family. Honorable mentions, Olivia Benson and Elliot Stabler on Law & Order. A bonus. These are the top TV show best friends.
Cool. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. I just wish they would get rid of the whole will they, won't they stuff. Like, just let them be friends.
Can we just do that, please?
I don't see them on this list, but I would say that Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman's characters from Parks and Recs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Great ones. And there was never a will they, won't they anything. They were just friends.
They were just friends.
You know, that was Robin and Steve from Stranger Things, Rachel and Monica from Friends. Walter White and Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. That's an interesting one.
That's kind of a complicated and somewhat dysfunctional relationship. Yeah, yeah. I don't know about that.
Jerry and George from Seinfeld. I think it needs to be Jerry, George, Elaine.
The whole group. The four guys.
Kevin and Paul from The Wonder Years. That's a good one.
That was a good one.
And I would put my money on the greatest friendship in TV history, Laverne and Shirley from Laverne and Shirley.
Hey, Cheryl.
Oh, okay. I can't believe Mulder and Scully didn't make that list.
It's a great one. Nice, Melissa.
Wow.
Yeah.
So far out of the public eye, I guess, these days. So, yeah.
Think of that one. That's a great, the TV family one, I've heard that plenty of times. Mm-hmm. I even remember TV Guide doing a thing like that once way back in the day.
Right, the best families, yeah.
I've never thought about best friends. Like, that's a great one. I really like that.
That is really cool.
That's a fun one.
Because so often, and there's a couple that you named in there that are male and female, but so often those end up being romantic relationships.
Yep.
I mean, Mulder and Scully even did have, they had a kiss scene in one. Sorry, for spoiler.
Oh my God,
for anybody who hasn't seen X-Files. Hey, I was a latecomer to that. I just watched it in the last couple of years. Ooh. But
I was going to say,
it is a thing that happens.
That's true. That's true. I got one here. And because the show will be coming back very soon, Bender and Fry on Futurama.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one. To piggyback on your cartoons, we got this from our friend Phil, Fred and Barney.
Fred and Barney. One of the best, two best friends of all time. Yeah,
Andy and Barney too. Andy and Barney.
Yeah, that's
nice
right.
Job,
yep.
Phil.
Oh,
nicely done.
Yep, from the Andy Griffith
Going
Show.
Going up to Mount Pilot.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You want to go see the picture show?
Oh, good. Nice impression by you. I didn't know you had that in you. That was good.
That's my Don Knotts. It's not. I don't think it's that good.
I like it. That was a fun one. And we'll keep this going, everybody. You think of honorable mentions, go ahead and call up 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. You call up. I'm going to start. I was going to start daring people to call in because we all know how that works. You know, you dare people and you got to do it. If you get dared.
We dare you.
Yeah. Now I'm just going to start offering rafter tickets. If you call up and give us a TV family or a TV set of best friends that we haven't already mentioned, but it's got to be one we haven't already mentioned.
Yes.
You'll win yourself some four rafter tickets.
There you go. Ooh,
call between now and the end of the show, 424-2600, and that'll happen. I wanted to wrap up our entertainment with a quick thank you to all the great people out there who have already listened to the What the Muppet podcast, the podcast Bree and I have every Monday we have Muppet Mondays, and we'll drop a new episode for you, and we have been blown away by the amount of people that have already jumped
on
this.
Nice.
I'm a little shocked and embarrassed because the first episode was not exactly my strongest work.
It was the first episode.
It's a pilot. You got to have the pilot.
I listen to our radio shows most every day to fine-tune this show and to make, get better at what I do and everything. I have never listened to something and cringed more at my own voice and my own rambling than that one. It gets a lot better, everybody. We did five episodes. We've already recorded five episodes, and the next four are a way bigger improvement.
Well, and that's funny to say that, and you know, because like you said, you listen to your voice all the time. So it was, it's not like it's like a new thing for you,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Bria is amazing, though. Bria alone is worth listening to. She is so good at this format and this medium.
I listened to that first episode, and I got to tell everyone, her laugh is worth the price of admission itself. Yes. She's got such a great laugh.
I look for every opportunity to make her laugh, and all my kids, really, because they all got great laughs, all got great smiles, and you want to make kids laugh all the time, but you're so right, man. Yeah. Yes, to get that laugh on audio, man, as much as possible.
Yep.
You can get What the Muppet at anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, you know, iTunes, all that, anywhere you go for And it's also got a YouTube page. We Bree records these, and we're on video as well. So you can go ahead and type that into your YouTube search bar, What the Muppet Podcast, and it should pop up for you. Thank you so much, everybody, though. You really humble us with that. We'll take a break, and we're going to come back with the 10 social norms that make no darn sense.
All right.
Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Boards froze, everybody. Gonna be honest with you.
Yep.
You look right behind the curtain. The board is frozen right now.
Now it's starting.
Now it's starting. Of course. Yeah. Now it's starting. Well, a little too late. A little too late. But thankfully, we'll get our weather in. It's nice out. It's nice out.
It looks nice to me. Yeah. Outside there. You know.
It's 75 here in Wisconsin Rapids. 74 in Stevens Point. 73 in Marshfield. And 73 in Wausau.
Nice.
There we go.
Done that in a while.
I know, yeah. It took me a second to kind of have to get my temperatures. It's been so long.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
let's go ahead and dive into this one. The 10 social norms that make no sense when you think about them.
All right.
Someone went on social media and asked, what are these? And are they pretty weird? Do you think about it? The things that have become so ingrained that most of us do them without thinking. Mm-hmm. But if you do think about it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Kind of like blowing out candles on a cake when it's your birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, what?
That's the example they give, and I don't know. Thank you, Seth, because I thought I wasn't smart enough to get that or something. Like blowing out candles on a cake when it's your birthday. I don't see that as I don't get the connection there, but all right.
Sickness, spreading your germs to everybody that comes to the party and eats your cake.
That's a good point. Very, very fair point that I really feel uncomfortable that I did not think of first. It's okay. We're not live. I'll fix it in post.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Here we go. First one. Paying tens of thousands of dollars to bury corpses in the ground.
Yep.
That does seem weird, doesn't it?
It is weird.
A lot of people mentioned the huge cost of ceremonial things like funerals and weddings, which weren't always meant to be debt-inducing.
Right.
Others brought up gender reveal parties, but that's a whole other level.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
That's just attention-seeking.
Keep going, because I'll make a point when we're done with this.
Balloons. Here's a plastic sack of my breath. Happy birthday.
Oh, my gosh. That was good.
That's kind of interesting. Kind of an interesting one. Continuing with these 10 things that don't make much common sense. Mm-hmm. Ties being the standard for business attire.
Any kind of neckwear.
Yeah.
Seems weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and if you look at the history of, like, men's, you know, business outfits, or you're out in public kind of thing. You can see like weird ties, and like there was that one time where they wore their collars high and they just put like a band of cloth around it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is again, why? That's weird.
If you look back through the progression of men's fashion, mm-hmm. as it were, look back in the 1400s to the ruffles that you guys used to wear. You know, a tie is a little more functional, at least.
Powdered wigs. Powdered wigs.
What do they call that? An ascot?
Yeah, I think that's called an ascot. Yeah, yeah.
Tony Curtis. Tony Curtis is the only human being I have ever seen in my life that can pull off
an ascot. Yeah,
Tony Curtis looked dang good in an ascot.
He did. That's
like very handsome man. Yep. Very good at what he did as an actor and everything. But I don't think anybody rocked an ascot in human history better than Tony Curtis.
That's awesome.
I feel very comfortable saying I will die on that hill. the weird hill to die on.
What took you out? Tony Curtis in an ascot.
I really should have chosen my battles more wisely. Number four, all the random, quote, rules about texting people. Texting is supposed to be a way to talk to people, and they can respond at their own convenience.
Right.
But we do have rules about texting. I'm learning this as we go. I don't know if you two have noticed. Well, my phone hasn't been working for like a week, so you wouldn't have noticed. But I really am trying to get better with emojis. I'm really trying not to send as many. I'm trying to, like, I even do this where, nope, they know me well enough now. They know I'm being sarcastic, or they know I'm Joe, or whatever, everything. I still got room to grow. I still got a lot of room to grow.
One to grow on.
Star swipe, nice. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you mentioned ties. They've been around for 300 years or better. I hate them. I don't wear a tie, and I don't want to get buried in a tie. I want to get buried in a brewer's shirt or something.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. No formal wear for you.
I haven't put it in my will yet, but I'm going to. I'm not going to wear no tie when I get buried.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, sir. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you.
That was a great call.
That was great.
That was wonderful.
So best listeners in radio.
Oh my gosh. The best. So he actually combined two, the whole burying thing, wearing ties. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Why do we do either?
We're very appreciative of you, sir. Thank you for the call. And keep them coming, everybody. 424-2600. Cards. Giving Hallmark money in exchange for a piece of paper that someone's going to look at for about 10 seconds and then forget about.
Because they're so expensive now.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
You can spend between $4 and $8 on a card.
I'm going to throw something out there that I want an answer to. And if anyone has the answer to this, please tell me. Speaking of etiquette, 424-2600, what do you do with them? What do you do with cards? Are you supposed to save them? See, I don't know. Is this another unwritten thing? Are we keep them for a certain amount of time and then recycle? What do we do?
It depends, in my opinion, who they came from.
Okay.
You know, like I saved the cards that my grandma gave me for my birthdays over the years.
Okay.
That makes sense. But the thank you card I got for sending somebody a baby shower gift, you know, I read it. It might have sat on my table for a week, but then it goes in the trash. Recycling. But yeah.
Because my mother did such a good job doing a number on my brain about throwing things like that away, and it was so, I cannot stress to the audience how important it was to send thank you notes and the Jewish guilt that was laid upon us if we did not. I have in my top drawer a just stack of birthday cards. So I didn't get a lot of birthday cards growing up, and I used to keep them in my late teens, early 20s when I would get them, because I just didn't get a lot of those growing up, to the point now where it's just out of guilt. I'll be completely honest. I hang on to these because it was nice enough for somebody to take the time and spend the money to do that on me, and I feel bad. So I will hang on to them for maybe a couple of years before I end up tossing them or something, but I'm so glad I did this because I have birthday cards from my Nana. That is gone now, and I like having that. What am I ever going to do with it? I don't know, but I like having. I like seeing her penmanship still.
Good memories.
I think we found a reason that this isn't ridiculous. I think this is something that has some value. You both just mentioned that, you know, people who are no longer with you, you have some memento of them.
But you wouldn't necessarily have to buy it from Hallmark.
Yes, there you go.
You know, if it was made. Yeah. At home, if it was a folded over piece of paper with a heart on the front,
there you go,
and their signature inside and crayon, a little note.
There's not a lot of opportunities to bring out the kid in you. Here is one of those.
That's a great point, too.
Make your own cards.
Yeah. And I know a couple of people who make their own, like, gorgeous, beautiful
my mom did
cards.
That.
It's like, wow, that's impressive.
I'm not a I'm a different type of name dropper as an actor. I like dropping my kids' names whenever I can. Bria is really good at making cards. She's really crafty. She makes like she goes all out.
Why does that make sense? Yeah, that totally makes sense for her. Yeah. You know,
this is a little Renaissance woman.
Next director's cut. We're going to talk about her card making. You know, so
this one's interesting. Clapping, showing appreciation by smacking our hands together to make a noise. I don't know. I mean, I think that. So this is getting into the. Now, this is more of. I don't think they're saying we should not be clapping. I think it's just kind of like a little self awareness of like, you know, if aliens came to this planet and you know, they saw this, like, what would they think kind of thing?
Wow, what are they doing that for?
Yeah. I think that.
Are they threatening that person?
To me, that's funny. To me, that goes hand in hand with this next one, a buying litter. We buy special dirt for our animals to do their business in. Yeah.
There's sometimes things in there that help that out, though. So
yes.
Actually, that one I think
reduce
is okay.
Reduce smells.
Exactly.
Acknowledging other people's sneezes, you know, saying bless you or like I do, saying salut or something.
Yeah, right.
I think that's just politeness. We need more of that, actually. I think that we could use. I love seeing a stranger and a stranger, and that happens, and they say bless you or whatever.
Yeah, right.
I think that's cool. I like that kind of thing still. Maybe I'm just old.
Or as my dad says, Gusentight.
Nice. And this next one is the one I think we're all guilty of, and we all kind of, if we took a second to think about, be like just shaking our heads. Using a customer service voice that sounds nothing like our actual voice.
On the phone?
Yeah, when you're on the phone, when you're calling up or something like that, you immediately start to try to sound like more adult. Or do you ever
phone
do,
voice.
Does anybody do this? You're on the phone. And maybe it's a business call or something like that, and you immediately look around you like, is my room look okay?
I can't see you, of course.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I've done this before. I'll admit. It's been a long time, but I have done
You're
that
just
before.
Getting ready for where everything is a video call.
I guess
as
so.
Opposed to just audio.
Well, we can fake all our backgrounds now, too, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, true.
That's true.
Just throw the Death Star in the background, you know?
Nice. We got to get that. That's a good one. That's a good reference. We got to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some more fun after this on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Let's go ahead and find out how you're doing. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Nope.
Hello. Well, I think we are the best morning show around, too. That's very nice of you to say, but you didn't have to call up and tell us that. That was very nice of you. You guys didn't hear that? Nobody else heard that? No. Oh, sorry. It might have just been in my headphones.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation.
Melissa, call the guys in the wagon. I think it's finally happened.
It's okay. I've got him on speed dial. We got this.
That's a really good call by both of you. A small school in Vermont called Middlebury College is dealing with over-enrollment, and they're offering underclassmen $10,000 to delay their education to ease overcrowding.
Oh, my God.
Yes. $10,000? Wow.
They are paying them not to go to school.
Whoa.
Wow.
In other news, we were born in the wrong generation.
Ah, jeez.
or just went to the wrong college.
Yeah. A spokesperson says they typically have 2,500 to 2,600 students, but enrollment this fall could be closer to 2,900.
Whoa.
They didn't accept too many kids. The freshman class is about 600. The surge is from students returning after taking time off during the pandemic.
Makes sense.
For now, the offer has been made available to juniors and seniors who take a leave of absence for the fall semester and winter term. They're hoping to get at least 30 students to take them up on it. The deadline to apply is today.
Oh, get that in there, folks. If they're, I got to say, though, if they're offering like $10,000, how much does it cost to go there?
Right.
It's got to be expensive.
I've never heard of this school.
No, me neither. Not a very big one. No. Only like 2,600 kids. Yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, you know, more expensive than college in the United States is childcare per year.
Yeah. Right.
One of the only things.
Right, exactly.
It's. I don't want to call this a That Ain't Right story, but I feel like there's a That Ain't Right part. I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I mean.
Well, them having to delay their ability to finish their degree is going to impact them for the rest of their lives.
That's true.
And $10,000 is not enough to live on for a year, so obviously they're going to have to work. But they would get experience in the workforce.
That's really, it's an interesting dilemma when you think about it. Mm-hmm. At first glance, it's like, well, who wouldn't do that? But then, like what you just laid out for us, Melissa, it's like, well, maybe there's a reason they want to go. There's a reason they pick now to come back,
So, at first I thought, well, you offer 10,000. Hell, you offer 10,100 to a college student. I mean, that's worth 10. That's like 10 million to a college student.
That's right.
Like, they're going to take that in a second. But if it's this expensive to go there, I'm guessing their clientele, the students going there come from money, and it may not be as,
there's a reason they're going there.
Just a weird story, though.
It's odd.
Like, just a what the what kind of story. Like, huh, I didn't see that coming.
No.
In my 2023 bingo, I didn't have colleges paying you not to go to college. I didn't see that one coming.
We have some pretty outlandish things on those cards too, I gotta tell you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, really far out there stuff. Very, very far out there. Let's go ahead and take a break. But before we do, I want to let the audience know that, of course, we have a great show that we opened up a couple of months ago on our sister station, WIRI. The Sunrise Show goes from 7 to 8 every morning. Mm-hmm. Yep. We have a great time over there. We encourage you to join us over there, and then you can come right back here and join us from 8 to 10. Next Monday, we are going to have a special guest joining us, and we're going to have a couple of them joining us. So we just wrapped up Hoozle's Rise to Music.
Yep.
And a big shout out to all the artists that participated in that. Thank you so much for sharing your talents. We got the three big winners. In third place, Jordan Bain.
Yes, our good friend Jordan.
Our very good friend. Jordan's joined us here at WFHR a number of times. He's joined us on Director's Cut. We love working with Jordan and love hanging out with him. He'll be with us sometime coming up.
Yeah.
In second place, the last River Bottom Fig Plucker. Gotta be very
well
careful.
Done.
Had to say
that was good. Good job.
Had to say it in my head before I said it out loud. More on that in a second. And in first place, Kyler Cuzio.
Oh.
Woohoo!
Another big friend of ours. We've had Kyler on a couple of times with us here at WFHR. Enjoy working with her, and
she's
she'll be
amazing.
Back with us.
She is something
very
else.
Talented and humble.
Yeah.
Well, as part of them winning, they are going to join us on our sister station Sunrise Show.
Mm-hmm.
And next Monday, Derek is going to be with us. Derek is the last River Bottom Fig Plucker.
Nice.
The entire hour, Derek is going to hang out with us. We'll have some questions. We'll have some music. We're going to have a good time. Derek is so excited to join us.
That's great.
Couldn't be a nicer guy already. I'm really looking forward to meeting him and having him joining us. We're looking forward to Jordan and Kyler joining us as well. And we're opening this up not only on WIRI, but WFHR and on Director's Cut. Any artists out there, we'd love to have you on. We've got some big guests coming up on Director's Cut, and we've got a bit of a booking thing going on, but we will find room for you.
Yep.
We'll find room for you on our morning shows. We will always find room for our local artists. We will always support local and buy local, and we want to continue to do that. Reach out to any of our staff. Direct message us on Facebook. However you'd like to do it, just get a hold of us, and we'll get you on the air.
You know, we haven't said it in a while, and I do want to reiterate, it's not just musicians we do on Director's Cut. We do any kind of creative thing that you want to come on and talk about. We would love to talk about it. If you
make, authors, painters,
board game designers, whatever it is, we don't care. We want to talk about it.
I think we can let everybody know about this, Seth. Seth and I have a thing where we want to have, by the time we wrap up Director's Cut, 500 years from now. I don't know if you realized you signed that contract.
What,
by the way,
was that, is that what that said?
We'll talk more.
Should have read that before.
Stop taking the little blue pills.
we want to have every type of creative there is. We haven't had mimes yet. I want puppeteers. I want dancers. I would love to have the people from Dance with Pam on with us.
Talk about that. Yeah.
We're looking for all comers on the show.
Yep.
Again, reach out to our staff and we'll get you on the air with us. Take a break. We're coming back with five words you should never use to describe yourself on LinkedIn.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's our That Ain't Right story of the day.
Okay,
that,
nice.
That's coming up. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. if I let it play for too long, I'm just going to play the whole song.
Yeah, I can't help myself. It was his birthday yesterday.
That's pretty cool. Let's get into this. Five words you should never use to describe yourself on LinkedIn. And I would think that this includes, you know, any kind of those, you know,
job stuff.
Job sites and everything. Here's our feature that ain't right story of the day. World class. It's undefined. It's undefined and less impressive than you think.
It's very vague, isn't it?
It's vague and uncomfortable. Like, I just got uncomfortable even saying that
out loud. It's grandiose.
God, that's a good word, too.
I am a world-class at... Oh, wait, no. Because it could go the other way, too.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you can't... There's no... Like, other people could say that about you.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
He's a world-class athlete or something like that. But you can't say it about yourself. It's like giving yourself a nickname. You can't do that.
It doesn't work, man.
You know, I just keep asking you guys to call me Panda, and I don't know why you don't. I mean, I look like one, so.
Oh, I like that. I like that, actually.
I'm not calling you Panda.
I might.
My resolve to be nice is crumbling.
Responsible for. Ooh, yeah. I've used that one. Yeah.
Responsible for?
Yeah. Like on a resume or something like that?
Yes, on a resume.
Okay, yeah.
Talk about results instead, not just duties.
Oh.
That's very different than the way we were taught to do that.
You are absolutely right. Yes, that's very different.
That is different. That is different.
That has changed.
You know, I would push back on that one a little bit because I did just finish a business management degree, and they still talk about trying to be active, using an active voice in your resume.
Okay. Mm-hmm,
of the things that you actively did in previous jobs or are doing in the job you're in. So I don't know about that one. I'm going to push back.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. And she would know. She's the smartest one here.
She is the brains of the family. She is.
I don't know. I just asked you to call me Panda. Where did that come from?
I don't know, but I loved it. I thought it was complete improv, and I was going to say something off air. That was awesome.
She likes bamboo shoots. What can you say?
Yeah, she's a fan of bamboo.
I can't kill the bamboo. So, you know, it's the only plant I can keep alive.
Motivated. You shouldn't take credit for things you're supposed to do. Thank you. Yes. I will say that sometimes you don't know. You're supposed to sell yourself. Supposed to sell yourself. And you know, not everybody's got a lexicon as big as, you know, some others. And
yeah, right.
As I just proved by not being able to come up with a word to... My brain, man.
Employers want you to be a self-motivated worker.
That's true.
You want to, and how else do you describe yourself as self-motivated besides saying
I'm a world-class motivator?
I'm responsible for world-class motivation.
Yeah, exactly. Get it all in there.
Creative. Creative has been overused so much it's become generic.
Well, it always was kind of generic.
So pull up your thesaurus and find another word for creative.
Exactly. What are we supposed to say? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's some things here.
And I actually kind of might agree with this last one. Guru. It's fine if other people use this to describe you, but looks lame if you describe yourself that way.
Yeah, don't.
For sure.
I just got done saying that about other words. Yeah, yeah.
Guru is not a good one.
No. Oh, no.
I'm okay with the first one and the last one in this. The rest of them, I'd say pshaw, too.
Pshaw.
Yeah. They also bring up results-oriented and driven. As other words to avoid.
Okay.
So, you know.
Results oriented.
Yeah, I could see that.
That sounds kind of boilerplate, too.
But the other thing, too, is we also have to consider who's reading these resumes.
Of course.
Consider your audience. If you're applying at a really giant corporation or company, it's not a person reviewing your resume.
No.
Right. Right.
Especially
the first
LinkedIn.
Step. Yep. The first step you got to get through is the computer.
Algorithm.
The AI that's reviewing. Yep. And so to qualify for that, you need to put in all the words that are in the job application or, you know, the job posting. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing to put in there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
I need a palate cleanser. I think we all could use one. We're going to get to some local good stories of the day before we do that. Just for random, for fun, because it's summer and we want to talk a little ice cream. Here is Nick Griffin on eating ice cream as an adult.
So I had ice cream the other night. It's a different experience as an adult than it is as a kid, right? You have ice cream as a kid, you know, all your friends are around, it's daytime, it's joyful, yay! You have ice cream as an adult, it's dark, you're by yourself. You're alone talking to yourself. I shouldn't be doing this. This is stupid. This is stupid.
Oh, that's so good. It's so darn good. I never thought about that. That's hilarious. That was pretty good. All right, a little bit of a palate cleanser. How about some more? How about some more? The Rafters. Let's talk Rafters.
Let's talk Rafters.
Back in action tonight, right back at Athletic Park tonight. First pitch is at 6:35. Our pregame will kick off at 6:20 as we take on our rival, the Wausau Woodchucks, and get back in the action and make a playoff run here.
Yeah, they're right on it. They're, like you said the other day, they're in control of their own destiny.
Yeah.
And they just need to keep winning.
Well, yeah, they've had four wins now in a row, so yep. Let's just keep going, guys.
Yep.
Rafters are back home hosting Fond du Lac this Thursday. Get your tickets at northwoodsleague.com or get them right at the ballpark at Winter Field. The box office is open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
That's right.
I need more, need more. How about our friends at Quality Plus Printing? Big thank you to them. Shout out to them for being with us today. Thanks, Phil and the gang. Visit our friends at Quality Plus Printing at 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Open right now. Getting your words out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've got Midday Magazine today. Be sure to join us. We're a very special episode today. We got the Wood County Sheriff's Department in. Sheriff Sean Becker going to be with us. And, of course, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media are going to record. All of that, great. Sheriff's bringing in his dad.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is going to be a fun show. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4, Tuesday through Friday, for Midday Magazine. It's going to be a good one today. I love this as well. The city of Wisconsin Rapids is hosting, looking for input on naming their new dog park.
Yeah.
Encourage people to get in on that. You can put your name at wirapids.org/dogpark. You've got now until September 1st to do so. Get your names in there, everybody.
I'm going to give everyone the lamest name so you cannot use it. The Bark Park. Don't use that.
Oh, I like
okay?
that, though.
Use something else.
It's terrible. It's terrible, but I do like it. And it's Wednesday. We know what that means.
Yes, it's bingo.
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 Bingo. Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge.
Number 693. Doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. They've got food there from Two Hearts Catering. What isn't to like? They do a lot for our community. Let's support them.
Yeah. Support the Elks Lodge, everybody. Mm-hmm. Great time. Doors open at 5. Bingo at 6:30. Go have a great time. It's always packed, so get there a little early.
Yeah, probably. No kidding.
Yeah, get a good parking spot. And a shout out to our friends at the Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
And we got Terry joining us this week, and we'll talk a little bit more about this then, but I did want to mention that just one more day you have to register for Stuff the Desk.
Yes.
Stuff the Bus coming up this Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
As a part of Lunch by the River, and a big thank you to the volunteers and everybody that's a part of this. Thank you to everybody that has brought school supplies for these kids. And you still have another day to do that, and I know we could use them, everybody.
Yep.
So let's get those supplies
together. Last push.
Yes. Get those supplies together, because for all the kids that registered, that's great, but we understand how it is being a parent. You forget things. You miss, you know, oh my God, I didn't register for this and I should have and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, you know, those extra supplies we can get can help out those fringe kids that may not have been signed up.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Greatly appreciate this community and our friends at the United Way being a part of this. Find out more at uwswac.org. Great show, you guys.
You
wonderful
too, man.
Show today. Have a good day, everybody. We'll meet. Stick around for Kristen's show coming up right here on...
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.